So if you needed to send an email to, I don't know, 20,000 people in the next 5 minutes, trying to do that through your standard corporate inbox would be, well, a catastrophic mistake.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, your client would freeze almost instantly.
Right, and your outbound server would crash. And honestly, your organization's domain would be globally blacklisted for spamming before the first 100 messages even cleared the outbox.
Yeah, exactly. To handle that level of throughput, you really need industrial-grade infrastructure.
And that brings us to the core of today's deep dive, which is supported by Safe Server. Because, you know, when organizations look at their enterprise communication, the reflex is usually just to lease these really expensive proprietary tools. Like, we just default to deploying Microsoft Exchange, or we lock ourselves into Microsoft 365, or migrate everything over to Google Workspace.
Which is easy in the short term, but those closed ecosystems carry staggering recurring price tags.
Yeah.
And more importantly, they demand that you surrender your data sovereignty. Switching to an open source alternative completely changes that financial equation.
But I mean, beyond just the budget, this is a severe regulatory issue for a lot of you listening. Like, if your organization is subject to strict email retention laws, or if you're handling sensitive data protection, securing financial records, or, you know, maintaining rigorous audit trails, handing your data over to a tech giant's opaque ecosystem is a profound risk.
It really is. Data sovereignty ensures you retain uncompromising control over those sensitive communications.
Right, and that's where Safe Server comes in. They specialize in helping organizations find, implement, and operate the exact right open source solution for their specific compliance needs. And that goes from like the initial consulting phase straight through to running the architecture on highly secure servers physically located in the EU.
Yeah, which forces a necessary reevaluation of who actually holds the keys to your internal communications. Because the moment you rely on external black box infrastructure, you're inherently compromising your audit trails.
Exactly. So, to take back control of your infrastructure, you can explore the options at www.safeserver.de, which honestly sets us up perfectly for the software we're tearing down today. We are looking at a critical piece of open source architecture called SIMPA.
Yes, SIMPA, which stands for Système de Multi-Postage Automatique.
Right, automatic multi-mailing system. And our goal here isn't just to like read off a list of its features. We want to really unpack for you the underlying mechanics of how this software processes, routes, and archives digital communication at a massive enterprise scale without overwhelming the beginner.
Because the physics of the problem are frequently misunderstood. I mean, people hear mailing list software and they visualize like a really large address book.
Right, like just BCCing 50 people from Outlook.
Exactly. But an address book is a passive database. When you hit send, it simply dumps a payload of recipient addresses onto your mail transfer agent, which then has to attempt individual delivery for every single address.
Which is fine for 10 people.
Sure. But if you try to dump 10,000 addresses onto a standard mail server, it will hit its memory limits, lock up its queue, and completely fail. SIMPA acts as an active, intelligent traffic controller instead.
And that distinction is where the performance metrics start to really make sense. Because assuming the underlying server has sufficient memory allocated and the network availability isn't bottlenecked, SIMPA is documented as being able to process a list of 20,000 subscribers and successfully deliver a message to 90% of them in just 5 minutes.
Oh, it's wild. Think about the computational sequence required to actually achieve that. It isn't just taking one message and blindly copying it 20,000 times.
Right.
For every single recipient, the software has to open an SMTP connection, negotiate a handshake, stream the payload, verify the receipt, close the connection, and then log the transaction.
And doing that sequentially, one after the other, would take hours.
Literally hours, yeah.
Yeah.
So SIMPA parallelizes the outbound traffic, dynamically throttling the connections based on what the network can actually handle at any given millisecond.
And it does all of this while managing the entire life cycle of the community. I mean, if you just BCC 50 people and an address is dead, you just get, you know, an annoying bounce back email in your inbox.
Right, a minor inconvenience.
Yeah, but when you're operating at 20,000 users, bounce management isn't just annoying, it's a structural necessity. If you're a beginner, what makes a dedicated manager fundamentally different here?
Well, if you don't aggressively manage bounces at that scale, receiving domains like Gmail or Yahoo will actually calculate your bounce to delivery ratio. And if it's bad, they flag your server as negligent and start routing all your legitimate traffic straight to the junk folder.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so SIMPA natively intercepts those bounce notifications. It reads the error codes, determines if it's a soft bounce like a full inbox or a hard bounce, like a non-existent domain.
Oh.
And then it actively manages the moderation queues. It strips that dead weight from the subscriber pool automatically, which preserves the overall reputation of your server's IP address.
So you're really building a complex dynamic routing system, not just a static list. But, you know, looking at the architecture of how this routing system is actually built, there is a technical decision that stands out as almost counterintuitive to me.
Oh, I think I know what you're going to say.
Well, I mean, the entire project is open source, right?
Mm-hmm.
Licensed under GPL 2.0, which means anyone can inspect and modify the code. And a global community absolutely does.
Mm.
The repository Simpa community Simpa on GitHub has over 10,500 commits, 127 forks, and 70 distinct releases.
Yeah, with version 6.2.78 just recently prepared, it is heavily, heavily maintained.
Heavily maintained. And it's a genuinely international effort.
Completely. You can see the reliance on the software purely by looking at the localization data. I mean, the user interface has been fully translated into languages spanning Galician, Spanish, Japanese, French, German, Russian, and Italian. And the user documentation alone is actively maintained in Catalan, Basque, and Polish. You just do not see that level of granular localized translation unless a tool is deeply, deeply embedded in global institutional infrastructure.
Okay, but here is where I hit a wall with the architecture. Despite all of that modern global maintenance, the code base is overwhelmingly written in Perl.
Yes.
We were talking 92.5% Perl. I mean, in a tech landscape currently obsessed with like Rust, Go, or Python for system-level tools.
Yeah.
Relying on a programming language created in 1987 sounds like massive technical debt. Wait, why is a modern high-speed communication tool still built on something that old?
It's such a common reaction, but calling it technical debt fundamentally misunderstands what Perl was engineered to do. I mean, Perl was originally designed as a highly optimized text processing language. And what is an email, really?
But an email, according to internet protocols, is just a highly structured block of text and headers.
Precisely. It's just a string of characters dictating the sender, the receiver, the timestamp, and the payload. And when a system is parsing millions of incoming and outgoing emails, it needs to scan those headers instantly to, you know, verify cryptographic signatures, check subscriber privileges, inject custom footers.
And Perl handles that well.
Perl handles this better than almost anything else, because regular expressions, which is the syntax used to search and manipulate text, are compiled directly into Perl's core engine. It doesn't rely on clunky external libraries to parse strings. It uses deeply integrated finite state machines that can shred and reassemble text at C-level speeds.
Okay, so rewriting the entire software stack in a newer language like Rust wouldn't necessarily make it faster. It would just risk introducing breaking changes to a system that already processes text natively.
Exactly. The developer community behind Simpa prioritizes absolute architectural stability over chasing programming trends. You can see that commitment in their recent migration to a dedicated community domain, simpa.community. They're signaling that the foundation is permanent. When you're powering the communication backbone of universities and government agencies, you do not rewrite the underlying logic unless there is a severe performance bottleneck. And for parsing email headers, Perl simply doesn't bottleneck.
That makes a lot of sense. But an optimized engine is entirely useless if it drives your traffic straight into a brick wall. And the modern internet inbox is essentially a fortress.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, speed means nothing if the emails are rejected by contemporary spam filters. The architecture has had to evolve significantly to handle the cryptography of modern email deliverability.
Because deliverability today is entirely dependent on cryptographic trust. Receiving servers operate on a zero trust model. If they can't cryptographically verify that the server sending the message is authorized by the domain owner to do so, the message is just dropped.
Which is why the recent updates to Simpa are so heavily focused on protocol enforcement. Like, they've rolled out forced DKIM signing when an ARC seal is added, alongside specific formatting updates to DRR's protection.
Right, and the ARC seal implementation is a really fascinating technical hurdle that mailing lists specifically have to clear. Because, you know, DKIM domain keys identified mail is essentially a digital signature attached to an email header.
Like digital passport control.
Exactly. When the sender hits send, their server signs the message. When the receiver gets it, they check the signature. If the message was altered in transit, the signature breaks and the email is flagged as spoofed.
But wait, a mailing list software's entire job is to alter the message, right? It takes an email from a sender, unpacks it, adds an unsubscribe footer, appends a list identifier to the subject line, and sends it back out. Doesn't that fundamentally break the original DKIM signature?
Exactly. The act of processing the email destroys the cryptographic proof that's legitimate. And this is where RC Authenticated Receive Chain comes in. An ARC seal cryptographically preserves the original authentication results before the mailing list modified the email.
Oh, yeah.
So by forcing DKIM signing whenever an ARC seal is applied, SIMPA is essentially generating a chain of custody. It tells the final receiving inbox, yes, I altered this message to add a footer, but here's the cryptographic proof that it was authentic when I received it.
That's brilliant. Without that mechanism, 20,000 legitimate emails would just instantly be classified as a malicious spoofing attack.
Instantly.
They've also integrated deep compliance with RFC 8058, which is the standard for a one-click unsubscribe functionality. And, I mean, for you as the end user, this is just the convenience of clicking an unsubscribe button in your email client and instantly vanishing from the list. But on the infrastructure side, implementing RFC 8058 requires the backend to instantly parse and execute thousands of concurrent HTTPS POST requests without locking up the database.
Yeah, the load management is intense. And alongside navigating spam filters, the infrastructure also has to navigate international privacy law. Because delivering the message is only half the compliance battle. How you store the user data is under intense regulatory scrutiny.
Right, and we see that addressed directly in recent GitHub pull requests. Like, issue hashtag 1459 specifically introduced the ability to completely and permanently delete user accounts from the database.
Yes.
And they also rolled out features to protect and hide email addresses in web archive searches. To someone casually deploying software, these might look like minor UI tweaks. But structurally, for an organization trying to stay compliant with privacy laws, how crucial are these specific updates?
They are the difference between passing a privacy audit and facing devastating regulatory fines. Connect this back to the European General Data Protection Regulation, GDPR. Under GDPR's right to be forgotten, an individual can mandate that an organization expunge their personal data.
Which makes sense.
Right. But historically, many systems simply flagged an account as deactivated. The data was still sitting in the database, just hidden from the active user list.
Which is a clear violation of the law. Deactivation is not deletion.
Exactly. A deactivated record is still a massive liability if the database is breached. By implementing a mechanism for true permanent deletion in issue hashtag 1459, SIMPA gives system administrators the exact operational tool required to comply with a GDPR deletion request instantly without having to, like, manually scrub tables in the backend database.
And the web archive masking operates on a similar legal frequency, right?
Yeah.
Because many government agencies or academic institutions maintain public web archives of their mailing lists for historical continuity.
Yeah.
But if those archives expose the raw, plain text email addresses of every person who ever contributed to the discussion, you're essentially publishing a directory for scrapers and spammers to harvest.
Totally. Masking those addresses allows the organization to fulfill its mandate for public transparency and historical archiving while legally shielding the personally identifiable information of the participants. It perfectly balances the public record with data privacy.
Okay, so we have an architecture that routes 20,000 messages in minutes, utilizes deeply optimized Perl logic to process the cryptography, and fundamentally aligns with strict data privacy laws. But we need to look at the administrative burden here.
Ah, the human element.
Yeah, because enterprise-grade open-source tools have a notorious reputation for being hostile to the people actually running them. Is managing the system on a day-to-day basis just a chaotic experience?
Well, the historical complexity of command line administration has definitely been a barrier to entry. But the recent releases demonstrate a concerted engineering effort to strip away that convoluted syntax.
You can really see that evolution clearly in the command line interface updates. I mean, just looking at it, the primary execution command has been streamlined from simpa.pl to simply simpa.
Right, making it cleaner.
And they've overhauled the operational flags.
Mm-hmm.
Administrators used to have to rely on a deprecated import command to manipulate user data, but that's been entirely replaced with discrete add and delete options.
It creates a predictable administrative syntax. You can apply those simple add and delete commands not just to basic subscribers, but to list owners and moderators, standardizing how permissions are managed across the board.
They've applied that same streamlined logic to the bounce management we discussed earlier, too. Like, if you're an administrator operating through the terminal, you now have access to explicit commands like bouncers review, bouncers reset, and bouncers del.
Yeah.
It actually reminds me of the underlying logic of a nightclub bouncer.
Oh, how so?
Well, you don't want a system that just blindly rejects a fake ID at the door and forgets about it. You want a system that logs the attempt, evaluates the frequency of failures, and gives the administrator a clean interface to review the ledger and permanently block the offending domain from the entire network.
That's a great analogy. That operational clarity is crucial, but honestly, the most significant administrative upgrade in the recent cycle is purely architectural. The development team achieved a 3x reduction in processing time for the since include process.
Okay, so if I'm an organization with my own separate employee database, say an Active Directory or an LDAP server tracking employee onboarding and offboarding, what does that 3x speed up in that specific synchronization process actually mean for my day-to-day operations?
It changes everything about how internal communication is secured. Think about a standard corporate environment. When HR hires a new employee, an IT administrator typically has to manually provision their email, then manually add that email to the company-wide mailing list, the departmental lists, the security alert
Right,
lists.
it's tedious.
Very. And when that employee is terminated, the process has to be manually reversed.
Which introduces massive latency and human error. I mean, a terminated employee retaining access to an internal strategic mailing list for even 24 hours is a huge security vulnerability.
Exactly. The since include process eliminates the manual intervention entirely. Simply queries the external HR database directly. It reads the organizational hierarchy and automatically populates or purges the subscriber lists based on that central truth source.
And the 3x speed up.
Right. A 3x reduction in processing time for this synchronization is profound because when a system queries an external database, it often has to lock the local subscriber tables to prevent data corruption during the write process.
Oh, so if the sync takes 10 minutes, your mailing list is effectively frozen for 10 minutes. No one can subscribe, unsubscribe, or modify their settings.
Exactly. By cutting that processing time down by a factor of three, likely, by optimizing the database indexing or reducing the round-trip query latency, SIMPA allows administrators to run these synchronizations continuously in the background without causing locking cascades on the server. The moment HR changes an employee's status in Active Directory, SIMPA instantly mirrors that reality across the entire communication infrastructure without spiking the server CPU.
Wow, so it transforms administration from a reactive manual chore into a seamless automated background process. We have mapped out a remarkable stack today. We started with the sheer physics of pushing 20,000 emails to a network in 5 minutes. We analyzed why a 35-year-old language like Perl remains the undisputed engine for high-speed text parsing. We broke down the cryptography of ARC seals and DKIM signatures required to survive modern spam filters, and the architectural tools built to instantly execute GDPR deletion mandates.
And finally, we looked at how complex command line administration has been refined into a fast, highly synchronized management experience.
It really is a profound example of how community-driven engineering can solve enterprise-scale logistical problems with more elegance and stability than deeply expensive proprietary alternatives.
Absolutely.
Which brings us back to the supporter of today's deep dive, SafeServer. Because, as we've detailed, deploying the right communication infrastructure is not just an IT decision, it is a fundamental business strategy. When you transition an organization away from closed ecosystems like Google Workspace or Microsoft Exchange and toward powerful open-source solutions like SIMPA, you are securing massive sustainable cost reductions.
Yeah.
But more critically, you are enforcing data sovereignty. The legal compliance, the audit trails, the strict data retention policies, these remain entirely under your organization's control, operating on secure servers within the EU.
And you do not have to architect this transition blindly. SafeServer offers the expert consulting needed to analyze your specific operational requirements, determine if SIMPA or a comparable open source tool is the exact right fit, and manage the deployment securely.
Exactly. To begin reclaiming your organization's digital independence, you can review their consulting and hosting services at www.safeserver.de.
Understanding the true cost of proprietary lock-in is really the first step toward building a resilient infrastructure.
It is the only way forward. So as we wrap up, we want to leave you with a final thought to analyze. We spend the majority of our professional lives interacting with sleek, highly polished user interfaces, assuming that the underlying technology must be equally modern and corporately owned.
Right.
But beneath the surface, the internet relies on a very different reality. If a globally maintained, free, open-source engine can securely cryptographically sign and route tens of thousands of messages in minutes, flawlessly integrating with HR databases while navigating international privacy law, What other invisible community-built foundations are quietly bearing the structural weight of your daily digital life?